The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome back to Truth News Network. You know, at TNN, we have always felt obligated to address the major issues of the day throughout the United States. Illegal immigration is the only issue that comes to mind that is possibly more important to Americans than the pro-life, pro-choice discussion. Or should I say argument, because they always seem to devolve into arguments. Abortion is the most polarizing social and legal issue of the day, and it has been for decades. Monday, June 17th, that conversation escalated unbelievably in the U.S. and around the world. Why is that? U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas surprisingly weighed in about the Roe v. Wade case that made abortion legal in all 50 states. Now, most don't realize that what actually resulted in that ruling was the legality of abortion was taken from the states and given solely to the United States. That ruling by Supreme Court determined abortion is legal, that's Roe v. Wade, in all 50 states. But Monday, Justice Thomas, in an opinion that had nothing to do with Roe v. Wade, it was for an entirely unrelated case decision the court sent down. In his opinion on that case, he took a swipe at some of the reasoning of the Roe v. Wade opinion. An otherwise obscure case decided this week, titled Franchise Tax Board of California versus Hyatt, suggested a majority of the court, this court, would not uphold Roe v. Wade if a case came to the court to be challenged. That's the first time we've ever heard anything like that from a sitting U.S. Supreme Court justice. And to stick another sharp stick in liberals' eyes, it could also overturn same-sex marriage on the same basis. We'll later in the week break this all down for you, but not today. Today we're talking about abortion funding in the abortion conversation. You know, more controversial than the subject of abortion itself is how abortions are funded in the United States. The number one single abortion provider in the U.S. has for some time been Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, by its own numbers, shows more than 300,000 abortions are conducted annually at their facilities around the country. A majority of Americans reject the funding of abortions in any way using U.S. federal tax dollars. Planned Parenthood summarily insists that its abortion operations are conducted solely through private donations and do not rely or use any money that comes from federal funding. Planned Parenthood discussions and federal tax dollar usage by Planned Parenthood is a conversation for another day. Beginning long ago, but growing much louder, in this controversy over repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act, talk of defunding Planned Parenthood, essentially ensuring that Medicaid funds cannot go to the health provider service, has become deafening. Defunding Planned Parenthood, advocates say, would ensure that taxpayer money is not used for abortions. Now, let me just throw this in here. If you didn't know this already, every year, the federal government gives Planned Parenthood about $500 million for low-income health services. People who disagree with defunding Planned Parenthood have a consistent response to that proposal that federal money cannot be used for abortion services because of something called the Hyde Amendment. That's what we're going to talk about it today. Let's learn what the Hyde Amendment is, its history, and what actually goes into it. In 1973, you know, the famous Roe v. Wade case, with a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court ruled that a woman's right to an abortion is protected by the constitutional 14th Amendment. That decision legalized abortion in the U.S., although states still have control over certain aspects of it, like at what point in a woman's pregnancy abortion can be restricted. The Supreme Court ruling in Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion set up the debate between pro-choice and pro-life advocates that's still going on. Between 73 and 76, various attempts to prevent Medicaid funding from being used for abortions were introduced, but they all failed. But in 1976, the Hyde Amendment was introduced by Congressman Henry Hyde. It was not any sort of a standalone law, but rather a rider that was attached to the 77 fiscal year's Labor, Health, and Human Services Appropriations Bill. That, folks, is how you control everything coming out of Washington, D.C. Get to the source of the money. There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of disagreements between the House and the Senate, and the measure, the Hyde Amendment, went through a number of revisions before it was successful. Language that made exceptions for abortions in the case that the mother could die without the procedure were inserted, removed, and inserted in the bill again. But eventually, the provision is known as the Hyde Amendment, was passed in 1977. In essence, it prohibited any use of Medicaid funds for abortion unless the life of the mother was endangered. The passage of the Hyde Amendment was seen as a big win for the growing pro-life movement, but because it's a rider attached to an appropriation bill, it has to be repassed every year. After that Hyde Amendment was passed, its legality was almost immediately challenged. The Reproductive Freedom Project, the Center for Constitutional Rights, and of course Planned Parenthood, representing health care providers and a pregnant Medicaid patient, obtained an injunction just 40 minutes after the provision went into effect. Federal Judge John F. Dooling Jr. granted that injunction, setting off a legal battle that, of course, made its way to the Supreme Court. SCOTUS sent the case back to Dooling, who kept the injunction in place for that year, for 1977. While the Hyde Amendment worked its way through the legal system, it also underwent revisions in Congress. Because it needs to be passed again through an appropriations bill each and every year, there's plenty of room to edit and refine the language. Eventually, language that allowed for exceptions in the case of rape or incest were added. In 1980, the Supreme Court officially weighed in on the legality of the Hyde Amendment in the case of Harris versus McRae. Cora McRae was a pregnant Medicaid patient who challenged the legality of the provision. The court was asked to weigh whether the Hyde Amendment violated the right to privacy, the right to due process under the Fifth Amendment, or freedom of religion under the First Amendment. In a ruling neatly split by ideology, the court decided that the Hyde Amendment violated none of those. According to Oyez, here's what they said. The court held that states participating in the Medicaid program were not obligated to fund medically necessary abortions under Title 19. The court found that a woman's freedom of choice did not carry with it a constitutional entitlement to the financial resources to avail herself of the full range of protected choices. The court ruled that because the Equal Protection Clause was not a source of substantive rights, and because poverty did not qualify as a suspect classification, the Hyde Amendment did not violate the Fifth Amendment. Finally, the court held that the coincidence of the funding restrictions of the statute with tenets of the Roman Catholic Church did not constitute an establishment of religion. Although the text has evolved slightly over time, it's very similar to the original one. Federal funds through Medicaid should not be used for abortion services. The current text allows exceptions for if a mother's life is at risk or if a woman has become pregnant through rape or incest. Despite political majorities changing over time and other legal cases brought against the provision, some version of the Hyde Amendment has passed every year in the appropriations bill for both the House and the Senate since 1977. So let's fast forward. Let's look at the modern day House Resolution Number 7. Recently, the Hyde Amendment made it back into the news again in the sense that there are moves being made to make it permanent. In other words, make that bill permanent that prevents federal funding of abortions, and it would not have to be reapproved every year. H.R. 7, also known as No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion and Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act, would codify the already existing provisions in the Hyde Amendment and make the restrictions on federal funding permanent. It would also prevent women who were on a military insurance program or work for the federal government from using their insurance, federally funded, of course, for abortion services. The House of Representatives passed H.R. 7 January 24, 2017. A huge majority, 238 to 183. That's pretty big on such a controversial issue. It's unlikely to pass the Senate. It still hadn't made it. Similar bills passed the House in recent years that were not passed by the Senate. But if it does, it seems likely that President Trump is going to sign the bill. There are plenty of arguments for and against the Hyde Amendment, many of which are tied to the general debate over abortion. The following list are by no means conclusive, but like abortion, the Hyde Amendment remains incredibly controversial. We're going to look at the pros and cons of the Hyde Amendment and give you kind of an update of where we stand on federal funding of abortion in the United States. And you know what? It's very divisive. In almost every case, almost for every citizen of the United States, you're either for it or you're against it. We'll look at that next at Truth News Network.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hello?
They're lying to you.
Lying? Who is this?
You think you two are happy?
I'm sorry, I...
You think you're in a good relationship? You're living a lie. You're being deceived. They're fried.
What?
In oil.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Your nuts.
My nuts?
Your nuts. Your precious snack nuts are fried in oil.
Ugh. No one ever told me they were fried. I thought they were a good choice.
You didn't hear it from me. But Fisher oven-roasted nuts are never fried. They're just nuts. Oven-roasted with sea salt. That's it.
Huh. What a nice man.
Fisher oven-roasted nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
TNN, when only the truth will do.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
Well, today we're discussing the details of the Hyde Amendment that is back front and center in conversations all across the United States in politics today. So let's look at the advocates and what they say for the Hyde Amendment, supporting it. Advocates of the Hyde Amendment argue that it saves lives, first of all. The 40th anniversary of the original passage of the Hyde Amendment was in September of 2016. It was celebrated as having saved 2 million lives since its passage. Advocates argue that cutting funding for abortion prevents women from having abortions, although it's obviously difficult to quantify how many women would have sought abortions had they been able to. Pro-life advocates' estimate is that if the Hyde Amendment was repealed, abortion rates would jump by roughly 2.5%. Even some estimate as high as 25%. Another argument in favor of the Hyde Amendment is that it is supported by the American public. Polling on the issue has varied widely. In fact, both supporters and detractors of the Hyde Amendment regularly make this argument. But it's true that certain polls have indicated Americans are not in favor of using Medicaid funds for abortions. A Politico poll conducted in October of 2016 found that 58% of voters are not in support of using Medicaid funding for abortion. And remember this throughout this conversation today. The Hyde Amendment, as it stands, prohibits funding of abortions using federal tax dollars. Even some pro-choice individuals are in favor of the Hyde Amendment, arguing that regardless of their personal or political beliefs on abortion, taxpayer money should not be involved. For example, during the 2016 election, Senator Tim Kaine, in contrast to his running mate Hillary Clinton, was supportive of the Hyde Amendment. Kaine, quote unquote, stood with Clinton's efforts to repeal it, but said he was personally in support of the measure. So what about those who are against the Hyde Amendment? And there are a bunch of those folks, especially running for president this year, and more getting in that line. Critics of the Hyde Amendment point out it is specifically intended to target poor women and women of color who relied on Medicaid. Hyde's own statements when he introduced the measure provide some fodder for that point of view. He stated, and I quote, "I certainly would like to prevent, if I could legally, anyone having an abortion, a rich woman, a middle-class woman, or a poor woman. Unfortunately, the only vehicle available is the Medicaid bill." Advocates of repealing the Hyde Amendment point out that abortion is expensive to pay for out of pocket, so many women who rely on Medicaid don't have that option. Those who support repealing the Hyde Amendment also point out that restricting access to abortion doesn't necessarily lead to fewer abortions, but it leads to more unsafe abortions. They also point out that women who want an abortion but aren't able to obtain one are more likely to fall into poverty than a woman who is able to get one. And given that many women who seek abortions already have at least one other child, that can be dire for entire families. Of course, traditional pro-choice arguments come into play when discussing the Hyde Amendment, including that women's health care shouldn't be a political decision. So let's wrap this up. Let's face it. Abortion is one of the most controversial topics of the day, and it has been since, to be honest with you, the 50s. And it has been for even before the 50s, way back in the early parts of the 20th century. And it will still be half a century looking forward from today. The typical argument, if one reconciles abortion itself, is its funding by federal tax dollars. The annual federal funding of Planned Parenthood has been a hot topic every year that I can remember. Most Americans cannot see any realistic explanation for any federal tax dollars at all to PP, Planned Parenthood. Last year, the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, reported Planned Parenthood received approximately $500 million in federal funding for use in their services, their overall services. Now, Planned Parenthood claims that of that roughly $500 million received from the government, not a single buck goes to pay for abortion. They claim those funds are used in total for Planned Parenthood's other health care operations. So what are those other services? We've got their entire list posted in this story on our website. We're not going to read through them all here for you. There are a bunch of them. Let me just say this. I'm just scrolling down through there. They claim that they have about 35 or 40 other than abortion healthcare services that they provide. And of course, they claim that they're using that $500 million tax bonus check that taxpayers give them to fund those. But are these services not available already at other healthcare centers? That's a great question. Now, remember this. Planned Parenthood self-claims to be the champion of women's healthcare rights for low-income Americans. But are there not already other federally funded centers that provide these same services? At last count, there are three kinds of health centers nationwide at which low-income Americans can receive all of the above health services through federally funded programs already. More than 9,100 federally qualified health center service sites, approximately 300 federally qualified health center lookalikes, they're called, and approximately 4,100 rural health clinics, or 13,500 totally federally funded healthcare clinics. None of these clinics provide abortion services. So where do women receive abortions? Well, Planned Parenthood has approximately 700 centers in total, of which they state very few, that's their words, very few provide abortion services. They don't release the actual number of centers that do perform abortions. So let's do the math together. The U.S. already funds 13,500 public clinics nationwide, at which Americans receive all types of health services identical to those listed above that are offered by Planned Parenthood. PP in total operates 700 centers. Yet, according to their own numbers, they perform over 300,000 abortions per year. They report a, quote, small number of those 700 centers conduct abortions. Do the math. If every Planned Parenthood center did provide abortions, that would total an average of 14,000 abortions per clinic per year. 14,000. Now, that's over 1,000 a month. Yet U.S. citizens provide $714,285 per year for each of those Planned Parenthood centers. Just a few, Planned Parenthood says, perform abortions. I don't know about that. But let's go back to the other topic. They argue, the supporters of Planned Parenthood and federal funding of abortions, they argue that poor women would not be able to afford abortions. So let me just ask you this. You don't have to get an abortion. You don't have to get pregnant. Federal tax dollars already pay for preventive measures that include birth control of all kinds. If you look at that list that Planned Parenthood provides, all these 13,000 plus clinics provide as well. So a woman doesn't have to get pregnant and doesn't have to get an abortion. That's a personal choice in most cases. Now, the Hyde Amendment provides for federally funded abortions in the case of rape or incest or the death or the likely death of the mother. So for those dire circumstances that pro-choicers say, we've got to have that ability, that abortion's got to be legal, at least in those circumstances, those are included in the Hyde Amendment. The ones that aren't, folks, are the ones that women choose. It's a choice. They make the choice to either not use birth control and get pregnant or to forget about it and just go ahead and get pregnant. Nobody makes them. When they're made, that's called rape. Their abortion can be paid for. Why should you and I, as American citizens, be forced to pay the $500 million a year, some of which, and a lot of which I'm sure, go for other healthcare, not procedures, but training and benefits that are especially relevant for low-income people? That's a different conversation. But should we have to pay for someone's choice to get pregnant and then get rid of that pregnancy through abortion? That's the only question that matters today. Forget about the other noise. Make a determination about that. Regarding the Hyde Amendment, it is in fact in use right now. It would have to be repealed. There is a strong push by those on the left, especially the 24 or so presidential candidates from the Democrat Party. They're all screaming to get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which would just be willy-nilly pay for abortions. American citizens' tax dollars pay for abortions. You make a bad choice? Don't worry about it. The Americans are going to pay for it with their tax dollars. Let me hear from you. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. Or if you'd rather just put your opinion, your comments out there, you can do so. Just go to the bottom right-hand section of the page where this story exists on the website, and there's a place for you to enter your comments. We'd love to hear from you either way. Hey, later this week, we're going to get into the details, the exhaustive details of what Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's comments today really mean if Roe v. Wade comes back to this court next year with some abortion case and demands a ruling. Roe v. Wade may not survive this time. We'll talk more about that this week. Make sure you're here all week long at truthnewsnet.org. Till we talk again, have a great day. So long, everybody.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about.
This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
Truthnewsnet.org.